Today I'll be reading 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 25. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are saved know it is the very power of God, as Scripture says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of the world look foolish, since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has never used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews, who ask for signs from heaven, and is foolish to the Greeks, who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended, and the Gentiles say it is all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thanks, Olivia. Well, good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. Welcome once again to the Living Water Church. You know, we're just 1 week away from Easter, our big celebration of Jesus' resurrection. And by the way, I hope that you plan to be a part of all the things happening at Easter here at Living Water. And I hope that you're inviting some people, bringing them with you. I think this is going to be an awesome day next Sunday. But today is Palm Sunday. And we're wrapping up our teaching series that's called In the Footsteps of Jesus, The Path to the Cross. And so we've been retracing Jesus' steps, just the last 21 hours of his life that has led him to the cross. It started with the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed that incredible prayer of submission, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." And then we went to the Garden of Gethsemane at the end, when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, and he was arrested and taken into custody, and he had to go through all these trials that were highly illegal, just bogus trials, where Jesus was convicted and condemned to death. And we saw in those trials how Jesus humbly submitted to God's will, how he allowed silence to speak for him rather than speaking out against what was happening, because he knew God's will was for him to go to that cross. And so today we're looking at the final part of Jesus' journey to the cross. We're picking it up on the morning of Good Friday. Jesus had just been sentenced to death by the Roman governor Pilate. So if you go ahead and grab your message notes so you can kind of follow along through this message, today we're going to be looking at the 23rd chapter of Luke. We're kind of going through most of this chapter, see the story of the cross. So after being whipped by the soldiers of these Romans, they used this thing called a flagrum, which was this lead-tipped whip that would literally rip the flesh off of its victims. It was just an incredibly cruel punishment that was meant to torture the victim, but it was also meant to weaken them so they would, as they lose all this blood, they wouldn't resist being crucified, and it also caused them often to die a lot quicker on the cross. So Jesus had been beaten in an inch of his life before he was even put on that cross. If you ever watched the movie The Passion of Christ, you have a visual of some of the things that Jesus went through up to this point. And so we're picking up the story then in Luke 23, beginning in verse 26. It says, "As they led Jesus away, a man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, happened to be coming in from the countryside. And the soldiers seized him and put the cross on him, and they made him carry it behind Jesus." Now, how would you like to be this guy, you know, Simon, right? He's traveling into Jerusalem, and he's probably there to be a part of the festivities of the Passover. It's early Friday morning, and he's trying to get to where he's going, and he can't because there's this procession in his way, and all of a sudden, he gets grabbed by the Roman soldiers, and he's made to carry the cross. And here's the thing, both of those pieces of the cross that Jesus was crucified on would have weighed about 300 pounds. And most scholars believe that Jesus was actually carrying the cross beam of the cross, which would have been 100 pounds. But Jesus was just too weak at this point. And so they got Simon to pick it up and carry it for him. Jesus lost so much blood that he just wasn't able to carry it on himself. And the distance from Pilate's palace, where he was condemned, to Golgotha, where he was crucified, was about a half mile. No small feat, trying to carry 100 pounds a half mile. Our story continues in verse 32. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, otherwise known as Golgotha, or in Latin, Calvary, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Now, here's what I want you to see. Up to this point, the crucifixion process was just ruthlessly efficient. The Romans had perfected this. They had done this many, many times, and they were trained in this art of crucifixion. And so they would have laid out the cross on the ground, and they would have put Jesus on top of that cross and would have tied him with ropes first to it so he couldn't resist or move, and then they'd taken steel spikes and they would have just driven it between his wrist, avoiding the bones going right into the wood and of both hands, and then they would have driven it into his feet to attach him to the cross, and then they would have lifted that cross up as Jesus is hanging by those spikes and just dropped it into a previously dug hole. And I want you to imagine for a moment just the pain, the excruciating pain that what Jesus would have felt as that cross fell into that hole and all the weight came to bear on his body as it's attached to that cross with the spikes. Amount of pain, the amount of agony that Jesus would have experienced in that process is just truly indescribable. It's really unthinkable. It's utterly horrifying just to try to absorb the story. At this point, it's about 9 a.m. In verse 34, we see Jesus' first words as he's hanging on that cross, and it says, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Father, forgive them. It's just hard to imagine. He's in incredible agony at this point and the humiliation he's going through. And Jesus was thinking of the very ones who caused his pain. He was offering forgiveness at the moment when humanity deserved it the least. We continue in verse 34. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself, if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." And here's what I want you to see here. Everyone here, even those who are condemned to die, they're all mocking Jesus. Verse 40. But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise." You know, one of the most powerful moments during the crucifixion is this criminal who's nearing death, no doubt having lived a life just with all kinds of doing things wrong, and he somehow must have come in contact with Jesus, somehow knew the miracles probably and the things that he said he was, and out of desperation turns to Jesus for salvation. Now, this is the clearest evidence that no matter who you are today, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, no matter how much you have been running from God, you can return to God today. Jesus will forgive you if you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. And maybe today, for somebody, it could be their Good Friday, where you come to Jesus moment, like the criminal on the cross, where you just need to say, "Jesus, I'm sorry. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." That could be for you today. Our story continues in verse 44. By this time, it was about noon. So Jesus has been hanging on the cross for about 3 hours at this point, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Now, the significance of this statement is just, it can't be overstated, just what is being communicated with this curtain being torn down the middle. Because see, this thick curtain in the temple, it separated the rest of the temple from the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And so once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of the Holies, and he was the only one that was allowed to go out there. No one else could go behind that curtain to offer forgiveness for the sins of the people. Once a year they did this. And so they'd actually tie on that priest a rope, and they'd put a bell on him just in case if he went into that Holy of Holies and hadn't purified himself enough and had sin that came in contact with the holiness of God, it would kill him. So they have a way to pull him out if that happened. And so this curtain that separated humanity from God's presence is ripped in two by what Jesus did on the cross. And that we no longer have to have a person that we go to. Instead, now we can go directly to God through Jesus because of his blood. Such a beautiful picture here that's being shown. So with Jesus' crucifixion, the tearing of the curtain at that moment represented that through Jesus, through his shed blood, we are no longer separated from God. And we can go into his presence. We can have that personal relationship with him. The symbolism is just so powerful. Verse 46, then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with those words, he breathed his last. It was about 3 o'clock, 6 torturous hours after he was first nailed to the cross, about 21 hours after the Last Supper with his disciples, where we began our journey. Such a short amount of time. Verse 47, when the Roman soldier overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." This experience of watching Jesus' crucifixion, it had so impacted even this hardened Roman soldier that by 3 p.m. he had a change of heart. Maybe he even became a believer. We don't know for sure. Then verse 48, and when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. And we don't really know for sure all of who were there that day, but we do know that Mary Magdalene was there. We know that there was another Mary, the mother of James and Joseph was there. We know that there was a woman named Salome who was the mother of Jesus' disciples, James and John. She was there, and Jesus' mother Mary was also there, as well as the disciple John himself. And they all stood at a distance watching what was going on. You know, the Roman soldiers and the others who were there who were witnessing what happened that day, those whose hearts weren't already hardened, they had a powerful encounter with God. And that watching that whole process, as heartbreaking as it had to have been, their lives were changed forever. And as we're beginning Holy Week today, as we approach Good Friday and Easter coming up and on Sunday, I believe that God wants to meet each of us in the same way as they did when they saw Jesus die on that cross. I believe God wants to impact our lives by having us go deeper in his love for you through what happened on the cross. I think God would like to change us if we'd let him through this week. And here's how. It's through this third word that God wants to develop in you and me from Jesus' path to the cross. You know, that first week, the word we talked about was submission, as Jesus submitted to God's word. And the last week, we talked about humility. And this week, the word is contemplation. Contemplation. It's pausing intentionally throughout my day to focus my spirit on what Jesus did for me on the cross. Intentional contemplation, pausing intentionally throughout my day this next week to focus my spirit on what Jesus did for us on the cross. And this is what I want to focus on as we go through this next week, is contemplating, of chewing on this, of meditating, of going through this story this whole next week. If you heard of the words of the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," you know, that hymn goes like this: "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." You know, when I survey, it talks about contemplation. When I take the time to contemplate on the cross, when I pause and let my focus go to Jesus and what he did for me at Calvary, when I do that, when I contemplate in it, it changes me. It humbles me. It fills me with gratitude. It challenges me to remove any sin that might be in my life. It motivates me to be a better disciple of Jesus, to hold nothing back from him. All those things can happen as I contemplate on what Jesus did for me, when I think deeply about it, what he did for me on the cross. And so for the next few minutes, I want to show you some ways that you could do this week. Just some small things that you could do throughout the week to help you connect with Jesus and the whole picture of the message of the cross. How to pause and contemplate on the cross. The first thing is to prepare little reminders, to turn my focus to the cross. Just to prepare some reminders so that I don't forget, so that I do that this week. Psalms chapter 77, verse 11. You know, I want us to read this verse out loud. It's a simple little verse, but I think it's important. Let's just read these words. "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago." You know, this is why I read through the whole story of Luke, of looking at the cross, that we can take the time to contemplate this story, to remember, to reflect, to let it go deeper in us, so we can experience God, Jesus' great love, grow closer to God this Easter. Because see, what often happens, you know, the week leading up to Easter is, you know, we make these plans. We mean to go deeper with the cross this time of year, to focus on God. You know, many of us are fasting as part of Lent, and we're planning on praying. We want to invite some people, and we make these plans, but then, I don't know, life just kind of takes over on us. And we leave church on Palm Sunday, and then stuff happens. Something at work happens, and stress gets built up, or something in the family happens, and we get our mind on that. Maybe we get in a fight with our spouse. Maybe it's just the stress of all the things that we get busy, and all of a sudden the week is gone, and we're here on Easter again, and we forgot all the things we were going to do as part of Holy Week to go deeper. And so one of the ways to help us avoid that is to be intentional about setting some small reminders to help us remember this week to do something. And so let me just give you a few little ideas. You could do one, you could do several of them, it's up to you. But one way is just take your phone and change the screensaver. I did this week. And there's some free themes out there. You can put a theme of the cross right on your screensaver for this week. And every time you look at your phone, you see that cross, and you can take a moment and thank him for the cross. And it just reminds you throughout the day that we want to do that this week. You know, another thing, if you're kind of creative, you could draw a picture of a cross. Doesn't have to be great, doesn't have to be beautiful. Just a picture of the cross and put it someplace where you'll see it, in your car, at home somewhere. Maybe you could take a 3x5 card, put it on that, cut it down to a credit card size, and put it right in your wallet. Every time you take your credit card out, you see that cross, and it reminds you. You know, if you're on social media, what if you changed your profile picture to that of a cross just for this week, and it becomes a reminder for you, but also all of your friends that are connected with you on social media, that the cross, it's important to you, and it's a reminder for them as well. You know, jewelry, if you have a necklace of a cross, or earrings, or a ring of a cross, all these things, the small little things you can do to remind you throughout the day that we want to do that this week. We want to go deeper. Second step then, other than having these reminders, second step is to ask God to forgive my sins because of what Jesus did on the cross. As we're remembering throughout the week these little reminders, we could take a moment and just be sure that everything is clean between you and God, that there's nothing in that you've done or haven't done that you should have done that's standing between you and Him and your relationship with Him. Take the time to ask for forgiveness of any sins. You know that Jesus took upon Himself all of the sins of the world when He went to the cross. The sins before then, the sins after Him, they were all laid on His shoulders. And He once and for all paid the penalty. He paid that price. And when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins this week, it should turn your mind immediately to what Jesus did for you on the cross. It should make you think about all that Jesus did and helps you take you to being thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. Because we can only receive salvation, we can only go to heaven, we can only have this personal relationship with God because of what Jesus did. Jesus' sacrifice wipes away our sins, the big ones and the little ones. What Jesus did on the cross, it removes your guilt and shame when you accept that, when you believe it, when you ask for that forgiveness. You know, any feelings that you might have of not being good enough, it's removed. Jesus, take care of that on the cross. Because of the cross, you can put your faith in Jesus and turn to God and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. That's what brings salvation into your life. You can even take that step right now as we're going through this sermon. And here's God's promise to you. If you confess your sins, you will be forgiven. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool." And so when you take that time to contemplate on the cross of Jesus and you consider all that Jesus endured to defeat sin, it's remind us of the seriousness of sin, how significant it is. You know, when we turn our backs on God, Jesus had to suffer to overcome our sin, and that should humble us. And it should lead us to repentance. So this week, pray and ask God for forgiveness of your sins through what Jesus did on the cross. And let Jesus remove that from your life and tear down any walls that might be standing between you and God. And that will draw you closer to Him. Another powerful way to pause and contemplate on the cross is to use my Easter fast to turn my focus to the cross. And I hope that you've continued your fast through Lent. You know, if God asked you to give up something or if God asked you to add something, I hope that you've continued in that. You know, when I was praying about it, I felt like God asked me back when we started Lent to give up watching videos on Facebook and also to not drink any drinks that had artificial sweeteners in them. Diet Pop. And so I was thinking, oh, that's an easy one. God sometimes asks me to do some hard ones. I didn't realize how much Diet Pop I drink. And the fact that I don't like sugar drinks, and so if you take those two out of the equation, water's about all you got left. And so that was a bigger challenge than I thought it was going to be. But, you know, whatever God might have you do, I hope that you'll continue that this week. It is a way to have you go deeper with this idea of contemplating on the cross as you continue that fast. Look at our next passage, Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, "We do this by," and here's our focus today, "keeping our eyes on Jesus." Would you underline that little phrase? Keeping your eyes on Jesus. Fasting helps us to do that. Helps us to keep our eyes on Jesus. And then it continues, "the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Keeping our eyes on Jesus. You know, if you haven't been fasting in Lent, or maybe you stopped at some point during the last 34 days, what if you recommitted, or you just begin a week-long fast this week? whatever it might be. And check that second next step on your connection card, and I'll be praying for you if you decide to do that this week. But here's the key. Pick something that's prominent in your life. You know, if you drink 5 cups of coffee every day, consider fasting from coffee for this week. You know, you might need to have some Advil to help you deal with the caffeine headaches, but you know, that would be a good one because, you know, it's something that it's part of your life. It would cause you to go to think about Jesus several times. If you're on social media, maybe fast this week from social media, and every time you think about getting on it, instead you take that time and spend some time praying and thinking about the cross. You know, maybe you just give up sweets this week, and so that time you would be going looking for sweets in the cupboard, and the time that you'd be eating that sweets, you can instead focus on the cross. But things that you do throughout the day that instead you choose to give that time to Jesus. Don't get caught up in what you fast. The importance is who you're fasting or why you're fasting. And so we want to choose something that will help us keep our eyes on Jesus this week. Here's the next step. We're doing this acrostic of the word pause, and so we're on the letter S, and that's set aside time this week to read the story of Jesus on the cross. You know, what if you just took Luke 22 and 23 and you read it every day, starting today going to Easter Sunday, of reading that story every day and letting the words just continue to go deeper and deeper and deeper. It won't take you a lot of time, won't take a lot of energy, but it could be so powerful for you to remind yourself of this story. John chapter 20, verse 31 says, "But these are written." He's talking about the scripture passages of the book of John. He's talking about the story of the cross, "but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you'll have life by the power of his name." God gives us the Bible for that purpose, so that we can be reminded of that story and God's saving love for us, and that our faith can be strengthened as we read it. And life happens. Distractions come, doubts can creep in, but God's Word, it always pulls us back to the center, to what matters most, to what gives us hope and strength and courage to face whatever life is throwing at us in that moment. Make that commitment to take the time to read those two chapters of Luke, chapter 22 and 23 this week. And then here's the final way to pause and contemplate the cross this week, and that's to enjoy the results then. Of focusing my spirit on the cross. Enjoy what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life as I take this extra time to focus on the cross. I mean, what could happen in your life this week if you turned your focus to the cross and if you followed that acrostic of pause, of the P for prepare little reminders and A for ask God to forgive our sins and U for use your Easter fast and S to set aside that time to read the story and then E to then enjoy what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life as he takes you deeper. First, you're going to be reminded of what your eternal life, where that comes from. That it comes through Jesus and what he did on the cross. And then as you take these steps, it's going to lead your heart to overflow with gratitude and thankfulness. So often, even as Christians, we can just develop this negative spirit where we become focused on what's wrong in our lives, what's not perfect, what we see is missing. But when you take the time to pause, think about what Jesus has done for us, you can't help but go to grateful places because you are truly loved and you are blessed and you owe him everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. I owe him everything that he's done in my life. We owe him so much. And because of all those things, of all that gratitude it puts in us, you know, we could just be totally surrendered to what God is doing. Wanting to do in our lives as we turn from that sin and we stop pursuing the worthless things of this world and instead we get our focus on Jesus. We begin to allow Jesus to be everything for us. How can contemplating the cross of Jesus possibly accomplish all that? I mean, why is it so powerful? Well, our key verse for this week, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. comes from that longer passage Olivia read for us. It says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know is the very power of God. The Bible says that the cross, it is the very power of God. It may seem foolish to the world who doesn't believe, who hasn't experienced what we've experienced. It may seem foolish to our friends and our family who just don't understand the significance. But we see it. We've experienced it. It's through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that God has reconciled a lost and broken world to himself. It was on the cross that Jesus conquered sin and death and made heaven a possibility for you and me. He loves you that much. He suffered that much for you. Yes, next week we celebrate the resurrection, Easter, the most significant day in all of human history. And I hope you're ready to do that with us on Easter at Living Water. I hope you're going to bring some people with you. But I want you to understand there are no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. And we can't truly celebrate Easter until we take the time to contemplate what Jesus did at the cross. I hope that you'll take the time on Friday to come here some point during the day from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. You know, I had mentioned earlier, we're going to have these different areas in this room that you can just go through and experience the message and power of the cross. Jill put this together. I've read through it. It's powerful. You know, maybe even take out your phone and put it on your calendar and pick a time. Decide right now, I'm going to come in the morning, or I'm going to come in the afternoon, or I'm going to come in the evening. Bring your whole family with you. But take the time to go through that message of the cross. It will be powerful. I thought about taking attendance because I can't imagine anyone wanting to miss that. So I wanted to know who it was, but then God said, no, that's a bad idea. So I'm not taking attendance. I'll leave that between you and God. But, you know, I hope that you'll take time to come. As the praise band's coming up, I want to end by reading the words of Isaac Watts that he wrote in 1707, so long ago, in his famous hymn, When I Surveyed the Wondrous Cross. And as I read these lyrics, would you contemplate on what Jesus did for you on the cross, and let those words fill you with gratitude and motivate you to completely surrender everything to him. You know, maybe close your eyes if you'd like, as meditate on these words. As I read these to you, it says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, saving the death of Christ my God. All the vain things for that charmed me most, I sacrifice them through his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did such e'er such love and sorrow meet, where thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Powerful words about the cross. And so I'd like us to sing these next three choruses, simple choruses. And as we sing them, I think that maybe there might be some people who just need to spend some time praying. And so we're going to have an altar call, something that I don't do very often, where I just encourage you, if God has been speaking, if there's something that you need some healing from, maybe there's something you just need to put in Jesus' hands. Maybe you're wrestling with something, a decision you need to make, whatever it is that God's been talking to you about this morning. I can't think of a better place than to come up here at the altar and give it to him and just receive whatever it is that you need from him today. There is power in coming forward. There's power in the altar. And so I want to encourage you, as we're singing these songs, if you just sense The Spirit's saying, come. Then come up and pray. If the altar happens to fill up, feel free to kneel at these front chairs. Pray as we sing these songs. Let's stand as we sing the first one. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange to Him in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange to Him in the light of His glory and grace. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, with Him. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No be seated as we go to prayer. What can make us clean again? There's nothing but the blood. Nothing but what Jesus did for us on the cross. There is no other path. There is no other remedy. There is nothing that cleanses us. There's no other place to go but to the cross, to Jesus, and to lay it before Him. The power of the cross. It is the power of God at work in our life that takes a person that is far from God and in the next moment creates a new person in them with a new heart. There is nothing else that can change the human heart but the power of God through the cross. And so, Father, we thank You for the cross. We thank you for loving us so much that you are willing to give your only Son, Jesus, for us on the cross. That Jesus, that you would go and pay that price for us. It's a debt that we owe that we could never repay. God, it demands our soul and our life and our all this week. Father, as we contemplate the cross, as we focus on you, Jesus, would it draw us closer to you? Help us to draw closer. Help us to go deeper in you. You know, if you'd like to receive the free gift of eternal life that Jesus provides through the sacrifice he made on the cross, don't go another day without that, without getting it right with God. If there's anything that the Holy Spirit has been showing you, impressing on you, I encourage you, give it to him now, just where you are. Just let it go. Put it in his hands. Stop the wrestling. God's ways are always the best for us. Not often the easiest, but always the best. Let him have it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for the cross, for the gift of grace, for your love that is deeper and wider and higher than we could ever really get our minds around. We give you everything because you gave us everything. Jesus, it's in your precious name that we pray this. Amen. Amen.